Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 207.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 207. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you as always for your continued support. So in this particular episode, we have a continuation of Bebop Secrets. Bebop Secrets that Sterling Koza, one of our amazing educators, is going to be presenting and educating on. And he does this so well. He's such an amazing, amazing pianist. You know, all these amazing young pianists coming up are just, they blow my mind. Honestly, like, I'm just so impressed by them. The level of professionalism, attention to detail, class, elegance in their playing, right? Their swing feel, it's second to none. Like, you wouldn't even realize that they had just graduated college. You'd think they were seasoned professionals that have been playing for, you know, 20, 30 years, right? In clubs, Vanguard, stuff like that. It's absolutely nuts. Now, I completely attribute, this is a higher level, by the way. I just want, before I start saying my other point, this is a much higher level. Like, when I was at this age and I was in school and I saw people around me, you know, I was around lots of musicians, lots of pianists, other musicians at New School in New York City. The level now, from even high school players all the way down, it's higher. It's much higher. And I truly attribute that to the world, the online world, the online resources that people have available. Now, that's a double-edged sword. As I teach my philosophies, it's a completely double-edged sword, right? Because there's so much information out there that it can be a complete mess. And it usually is, right? It usually is. But just having access at such a young age to so many different types of materials and things like that, and that's why I wanted to develop such a structured and organized path, because, again, when the kids, young kids go onto YouTube, they're picking up all these things, and again, as they start to get older, they have so many different holes, and it's the same for you and I. I mean, this is exactly what happened. It's actually probably worse for them because they're learning from way more resources than we did. Right. When I was younger, you know, I there wasn't that many online resources, although I did use them a lot. I mean, obviously YouTube was around, but I wasn't going onto the internet specifically to find all. There wasn't like online jazz education. There was no online jazz education at all. Right. And now there's a handful of sites. I can think of at least five different sites, you know, that are competitors to me in a certain way. I don't really like to call them competitors because I believe in all sorts of jazz education. But that are also educating in their style and their philosophy. But it's crazy. So just to hear these types of players, it's unbelievable. It makes me smile. It makes me happy because they are continuing, you know, the history of jazz. And it's just so great to hear. I mean, this music, even though people are like, oh, jazz is dying. I'll tell you this. Here's what I know. Jazz will never die. There's always going to be jazz enthusiasts. There's always going to be jazz lovers. Jazz has carved out a spot in history that will never go away. All right? Jazz is never going to die. Mark my words. All right? So in this particular episode, we're going to be going over Sterling's going to be teaching on the Bebop Secrets. Now, excuse me. I would love to, and it's on my list, to get back. I really want to get back to teaching the podcast. Right now, I'm just so swamped with this new launch, which is just going to be, I just can't wait. There's nothing out there like it. There's nothing out there like what we're about to release. And it truly is. It's the Disneyland of jazz piano education. it's going to be amazing. I'm just so excited for this, and I'm going to continue to improve it. People don't believe me. You know, people are like, Brendan, you just continuously work to improve and make it better. Like when I first started, people were like, this is amazing. This is the best thing ever. I'm like, I know, but I want to make it better. I will always strive to make it better, right? That's my goal. And this iteration of Jazz Piano School is just, it's necessary for one thing. It's been needed for a long, long time. And at the same time, it's going to be such an advancement from what we have had for the members that it's going to be completely amazing. I hope all of you guys listening will check it out and become a member, because it's absolutely fantastic, and it really is. And we're going to be, like I say always, we're going to be talking to schools soon to use the curriculum, right, the lab and the specialty courses and all the other goodies, the tools, the dashboards, the quizzes, the certifications, right? It's really an educational platform now with badges and online, your profile, timeline, group community inside of the website, not just on Facebook, which is great because a lot of people have requested that. A lot of people aren't using Facebook these days for, you know, personal reasons, which I understand. So our community is going to be within the site now, which is absolutely awesome. You can share your thoughts. People can see your membership, your badges, your achievements, your certificates. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But the thing is, I'm working my butt off now, and I'm trying. I said I would have a date for you. I still don't have a date because things always happen, you know, but we're just like so darn close. It's just killing me. It's really killing me, but we'll get there. You just keep going. You just keep moving forward. You don't think about it. You just keep moving forward. That's all you got to do. So I know you're going to love this episode. I loved it when I listened to it. I was like, oh, this is great. I need to use, I'm going to practice this. I started practicing these things again. I mean, everyone needs practice. I could use practice in different keys in certain situations with this stuff to refine and really hone down certain things. And one player's education is different than another player's, right? So what Sterling has evolved into is going to be a lot different than what I've evolved into. He's listened to different players. He studied with different teachers, right? He has different nuggets. He has different emotions. He has different feelings. That his approach to playing is going to be different than mine, right? So even though we're both killing players, like, I can learn so much from him, and I love it. I love that about this, the way that jazz is. I love that you can learn from everybody, right? But what we're doing, in Sterling, we've been talking about this. He's going to come out with a stride course, which is going to be really fun, I think, by the end of the year. So we're going to keep talking about that, a specialty course on stride, playing stride piano, because he was going to do a deep dive into studying that. Fats Waller, Jelly Roll Morton, James B. Johnson, you know, everybody. Maybe even all the way back to the great Scott Joplin. You know, who knows how far back he's going to go. We didn't really talk about it, but he's going to do a stride course. So that would be really, really awesome. I love stride. It's fantastic. I think it's a great style, and it's a great old tradition that still has a place in jazz and in piano. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, you can't really play piano. Like, stride is piano. Like, there's no other instrument you can get that feeling from, and it's incredible. Right? We got to take advantage of that, because the piano, we have certain characteristics and textures and atmospheres we can create with 88 keys. Like, I can't even see my whole instrument by looking straight at it. Think about that for a second. I'm looking down at my piano right now. I can't even see, you know, the whole instrument in one peripheral, like looking straight. I have to turn my head to one side and to the other. That's how expansive our instrument is. And to not make use of all that, it's a sin, right? We need to make use of this entire beast of an instrument. And it's great. We have the opportunity to. We have the opportunity to take advantage of all of these notes. And we definitely should. And you should too. So, with that being said, let's dive right into this great episode and let's get started. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Sterling Koza here for JazzPianoSchool.com. Today, we're revisiting our Bebop Secrets series. And I'm going to be showing you how to use some practice techniques to develop lines sort of like this. Now, what we're talking about today is enclosures. Now, enclosures are a technique used by pianists all the way from Bud Powell to Oscar Peterson. And they're a really great way to really get inside the bebop sound. So we'll have you playing lines like that in no time. Now, what exactly is an enclosure? Well, when we're talking about enclosing something, we're enclosing a note. If we enclosed a C, for example, I would use the notes surrounding that note, which are D, D flat, and B. So we can enclose a note from above and enclose a note from below. If we did it from above, we'd start on D and use a combination of those notes. So again, we're starting from above and creating a circle around that C. If we started from below, we'd start from the B. So that's what that would sound like. Now, you can combine these enclosures into lines or melodies in a bebop style. And I'm going to show you an exercise that you can use to practice that. And this comes in really handy. This is something you can practice in all keys and really helps to develop some fluency in these keys. So let's say we're doing in the key of C, for example. So we've already enclosed a C with the three chromatic notes surrounding it. Or. So those are those two main types of enclosures. Now, other notes that we can use within the key of C would be notes in the C major triad. So we know that those notes are C, E, G, and then another C on top. So that's sort of our chord structure that we're going to work around. Now, if we enclose an E from above, we're going to use F. So enclosing E, we start a note above and dip below with some chromatic notes, D, D sharp, E. So we start from above and then approach it from below, creating the entire enclosure. Now what if we enclosed the G from above also? Note above, we'd start on A. And then two chromatic notes surrounding G. And then we get back to C. Starting on D from above. Now there are different combinations you can use of enclosures starting from below and above the notes. And that's where the creativity comes in. For the sake of this exercise, we are going to mainly be approaching them from above. And here's what the exercise might look like. So I'm going to start on C and enclose the E, enclose the G, and enclose the top C. So that's part one of the exercise. If we did this in a different key, maybe F, for example, we'd start on F, enclose the third, which is A, enclose the C, starting on D, just like we did in the key of C, but now we're in the key of F. So you can do this in all 12 keys, maybe a harder key like A flat. So that's a good place to start trying that in all 12 keys if you can eventually. Now the second part would be approaching it going downwards. So we went up. We can also go down. So I'm enclosing G, E, and then C finally. So we're still approaching these notes from above, A down to G, F down to E, D down to C. Now what if we combined those two? We're going to go up and then go back down, enclosing this C major triad. Now when when you start to get kind of a flow to this, you can turn it into just a constant stream of notes. And that's really where the fluency comes into playing bebop lines, because for bebop lines, we're going to be playing a lot of continuous eighth notes. And these enclosure notes give us a lot more options of notes to play. And these are things that you can do in both hands. I practice this in my left hand also. I practice it in two hands. Gotta practice that some more, it looks like. Now, somebody like Oscar Peterson can do this really fast. You'll hear him play over some really burning tunes and doing some enclosure notes. And you hear him playing, you know, tempo maybe like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. My right hand's definitely got that one down. The left hand, though, I don't think I can play it that fast. But eventually, you want to work up to two hands. So, needless to say, that technique really fits in the hands really pretty well when you find fingerings that work for you, and that'll really carry you into some faster tempos, especially if you have that in all 12 keys. Man, that's a great thing to practice. So, how can we use that to make lines? Well, take a tune like Sweet Georgia Brown, for example. So, Sweet Georgia Brown, we've got the first 16 bars or so, we've got four bars of F. Of B flat, four bars of E flat, and then we land on the key of A flat, our home key, right? So if I was shedding this tune, for example, I would just practice my enclosures over each one of these chords. Then over B flat, E flat. Now it starts to get a little hairy in the black keys. You want to be careful not to be putting your thumbs on black keys. That's a general rule that will really help keep your lines fluid and prevent you from getting twisted up in your hands. So watch out for that on the black keys. We'll be posting some practice materials for this podcast also, which will include some fingerings, some suggested fingerings that you can use to help. So Sweet Georgia Brown, here's an example of what, you know, part of a solo might sound like over this tune. I'm going to throw on a metronome. It's always great to practice this with a metronome. You know, you can practice going up and going back down at a tempo that's comfortable for you. Let's see. I'm going to put the metronome on 2 and 4 here. Just throw that down here. All right, here's the first bit of Sweet Georgia Brown using enclosures. You could definitely hear some of those enclosures over those dominant chords, the four-bar chords. It's a great place to use those enclosures. You'll notice we got to the end of the tune and we got to minor. And one thing I'd like to add towards the end is you can also practice these enclosures in the keys of minor keys, in specific minor keys. So we got to F minor, right? Same deal, we're going to, instead of enclosing a major third, we're going to enclose a minor third. So we're going to use the chromatic notes around A flat, B, A natural, G, A flat. And going downwards, I tend to prefer to enclose the bottom note from below in minor keys. Remember, in major we went from above. But in minor keys, the last one I tend to like to use the leading tone, E natural. E likes to go up to F. So that's a good way to do it that I would recommend, but it's really up to you, whatever sounds the best to you. I would recommend for minor using that enclosure from below. So if you'd like a review of these enclosure notes, feel free to check out the practice materials in the YouTube description, and it'll have details of how to practice these exercises and maybe some suggested fingerings to use. But I highly encourage you guys to shed this through all 12 keys and try it over a tune that you're working on. Sweet Georgia Brown is a great one to start with. And I hope you have some new ideas of some things to play kind of in this style. And maybe hear some new things as well in some of the recordings that you like already. Because a lot of guys are using these enclosures, a lot of pianists. So, happy shedding, and we'll see you next time.